Christmas is a special time for families. There's always lots of people to catch up with. Family Christmas lunches and dinners, far too much food to be eaten. But Christmas can be a difficult time for many people, whether we've lost loved ones, whether we can't see our family at this time of year because they're in a different part of the world or because of conflict. Someone in my family at the moment is dying. Likely to die in the next couple of days. I went and saw them this afternoon. And this person's death is going to be a reminder for the rest of the family every single Christmas from now on. Christmas is supposed to be a special time with families, but we can feel the pain if our families aren't as good as we think they should be, if they're not with the right people. It's a time of year when the problems of our families come to the surface. We can't pretend that everything's okay at, you know, Christmas lunch if, you know, a fight erupts over who gets the cream first for the Christmas pudding, and then it turns into a real conflict. We can't pretend everything is okay because sometimes people will just decide, no, I'm not going to that Christmas event because you're there and we're still fighting, and we've been fighting for 45 years. Families have always had conflict. You only have to go through the first book of the Bible to see that there's conflict. You look at Eve, she gave the wrong fruit to Adam. Cain killed his brother Abel. And Abraham tried to pass his wife off as his sister. One of the problems is that we can idolize families, especially this time of year. School results come out. I hear a rumor that the HSC results have come out for those who have just finished their HSC. I'm not sure if there's two. If there's one, two, can I get the third? No, I don't think I can. I'll grill you later. We go to dance concerts and school performances. We need to find a perfect gift for our loved ones in our families. We have to take a perfect family photo. We want to have everyone smiling while they're sitting on Santa's lap, no matter how strange it is to sit on Santa's lap. What do we do if our family isn't perfect? What do we do if we don't have a family? What if we're single or divorced, widowed? Is there anything at Christmas for me if it's all about family? Today we're dipping into the book of Acts, and we're looking at the conversion story of the Ethiopian eunuch, and we're going to be thinking about whether Christmas is really all about family. So please pray with me, and we're going to jump into Acts chapter 8. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the ability and privilege to look at your word tonight. Give us open ears and open hearts as we look at your word. Amen. Please have your Bibles open with me. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Okay, so we find out about an Ethiopian eunuch. What do we know? He's from Ethiopia. He's a eunuch. He was effectively the CFO of Ethiopia, the in charge of the treasury, and he'd gone to Jerusalem to worship at the temple. Firstly, he was a eunuch. I don't really think we see too many of these days, but it was fairly common in ancient cultures. What they would do is they would cut away a man's ability to produce testosterone. It would reduce his aggression, obviously his sex drive, and he would be trained and trusted to perform certain duties. Often they were in charge of the king's wives because they could be trusted with them. And this eunuch, he'd been trusted with all the money of Ethiopia. Now you might be thinking, why are we thinking about an Ethiopian eunuch the week before Christmas if we're supposed to be thinking about family? Well, eunuchs were men who were never able to have their own biological family. That privilege had been taken. It had been cut off from them. They didn't marry. They couldn't have children. And they were looked down on by many. They literally didn't have, they couldn't grow beards because they didn't have testosterone. They had high voices. And so in that ancient culture, you could quickly identify them. They stood out. They were considered to be monstrosities, despised, derided, put down. This man would have been brought up isolated and humiliated. Does God have a place at his table in his family for a person like this who's never been married, long time single? What about those who have been widowed or divorced? And whilst this man, the eunuch, is cut off from having a family, he's more isolated in society, because he's a eunuch, he's also cut off from God. This Ethiopian eunuch, he'd gone to Jerusalem to worship God in the temple, but he's excluded from worshiping God. From the Old Testament law, from Deuteronomy 23, it said, "No one who has been emasculated by crushing or cutting may enter the assembly of the Lord." Now, man, I'm not sure how you feel when I read that, but this is the third time I've preached it, and I still want to cross my legs when I think about being emasculated by crushing or cutting. But this man has gone from Ethiopia, it's on the eastern side of Africa, and he has gone all the way to Jerusalem. It's about a 4,000-kilometre trip. In a chariot at a walking pace, it would take about 77 days of 10 hours in the chariot. This is a long way to go. You know, it's about a three-month trip from Ethiopia to Jerusalem. And when he gets there, he wants to worship God that he's been reading about in the book of Isaiah, but he can't get in. He's cut off from having a family. He is cut off from God. And he's on his way home. He's trying to read and understand the book of Isaiah. And it's to this isolated man, this man who has been cut off from people and cut off from God, that God sends Philip to. I'm not sure how you're feeling this Christmas. I'm not sure how isolated and lonely you are. I'm not sure if you're questioning the place that God has for you. Know that God had a place for the eunuch, and God has a place for you. There is not any person that is outside of the love of God. The good news that Philip is going to bring the Ethiopian eunuch, it is for Ethiopians, it's for Euro-Aussies like many of us, it's for people from all across Africa and Asia, it is for males and female, those who are married, those who are not married, it is for people who don't have a family, because God has a family for you. The man on his way back to Ethiopia, the eunuch, he's trying to read Isaiah. He wants to know what God wants him to do. He wants to obey God. And he's reading the book of Isaiah. Verse 32, Philip comes up to him. Have a look at verse 32 with me. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch is reading about the suffering servant. And he is able to identify with this servant. Because the eunuch, he was someone who had been humiliated, deprived of justice, someone who would have no descendants. He knew what it was like to be a sheep, told where he could and couldn't go, someone who would die with no family. And when Philip comes up to the eunuch responds as if he knows that Philip is from the Lord. Verse 34, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about? Himself or someone else? Who is this? Who is this person? Because I resonate with them. I see their suffering and I see it in my own life." And Philip sums it up in one line. He began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. Jesus understood suffering and grief. Jesus never had a family, never had a family of his own. He was cut off from God, and yet he is in heaven now with God, interceding for us. And the wonderful thing about this man's search, the eunuch's search, is that God sent Philip to him and he believed. He realized who Jesus was and he is brought into God's family. And so, verse 36, as they traveled along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. Not really sure of the quality of the water. It was a desert road. It was probably a fairly stagnant, you know, little bit of mud on the side of the road. And yet it's not the quality of the water that matters. It is a symbol of the inward washing that has happened. This man who has no family, no ability to have a family, he was no longer alone. He learned that in Jesus he was no longer excluded. They might be able to keep him out of the temple. People might make jokes at his expense. But he is in the family of God. He has been baptized and welcomed into the family. He has a heavenly father. He has an older brother in Jesus. He's got another older brother in Philip. And even though he has no idea who they are, he has a multitude of brothers and sisters. And he goes rejoicing, singing, shouting, telling everyone who will stop and listen for a moment about what God has done for him. We don't hear about this man again. But one of John's disciples, a man called Irenaeus, who lived in the second century, he wrote that this eunuch went to Ethiopia and he started the Ethiopian church. Now, we can't be sure if that happened, but I wouldn't be surprised if he did. This man who on his own went preaching about what God had done, saw the church start. So why are we looking at this story of the Ethiopian eunuch? It's a nice little story. It's a life-changing story. It's nice and encouraging. But we have a God who welcomes us into his family. Because his family is the most important family. Jesus teaches some fairly radical things about family. Flip over to Matthew 10, 34 with me. 10:34. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother. And then a little bit further down. Anyone who loves his mother or father more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and anyone who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. The Jewish culture of the day was not like our individualistic culture. We like to think we're all about families, but really the culture that we live and breathe in is all about taking care of number one, and we can't help but act like that when that is what we see around us. The culture of the day was a lot more like the current Arab culture, a lot more like Asian cultures, where the first priority is to one's family. You don't take care of yourself first, you take care of family first, and family will take care of you. Jesus flips this on the head, and he says, it's not that your family that's most important. It is your spiritual family. It is following God, it is obeying God, and following Jesus. You get that right? And then you will get looking after your family right. The only way to truly love our families is to put God first and to follow his son. Again, when Jesus goes to his hometown, his mother and his brothers come and they try and pull him away. And Jesus says, who is my mother and who are my brothers? He points to his disciples. Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Whoever does God's will is part of my family. Church, for those of us here who follow Jesus and do God's will, we are a family. We might be a little bit of an odd church family, but we're not one that's based on genetics. We're not one that's based on blood. We're not based on someone choosing to marry someone else or a husband or wife's decision. We are a family because of the blood of Jesus. And we have been chosen not by a husband or a wife, but we have been chosen to be loved by God. We are part of a family that crosses countries, it crosses generations, it crosses race, it crosses centuries. It brings a special bond of unity that anyone who's ever lived in a country will tell you. Has anybody here ever lived in another country? Yes? well, it's nice, we've got a visitor here from Tasmania. And it's just like, oh, you're from church, wonderful to have you. That's pretty much another country, but welcome, brother. Hopefully he feels the bond of unity already, if I haven't just embarrassed the life out of him. But hopefully Amanda felt this when she was overseas. Hopefully when you go overseas and you visit another church, even if you can't speak the language, the bond of unity in the family is special. It doesn't matter if you are married or divorced, long-time single, recently widowed. It doesn't matter if you have your own children or whose child you are. The spiritual family that we are in crosses all divides. And this family is going to last much longer than our earthly families. I don't really know what it's going to look like when Jesus returns. I have some thoughts, which I can discuss with you later. But I know that if you're following Jesus, I'm going to see you. We're going to be in the same family. I'm going to see you with Jesus. And for those who have died hundreds of years ago, I'm going to see them. And for those of you who have friends and relatives who have already gone to be with Jesus, we are going to see them again. So how should this story of the eunuch becoming part of God's family, how should this impact what we do? Well, firstly, it's a wonderful reminder that we are welcomed into God's family. Even when we can often feel isolated or lost or people who aren't particularly lovely. On a side note, for many people, they're not going to get married. They're going to be single. They won't have kids. And our culture has a tendency to say, you may have even said something like this, don't worry, there's always other fish in the sea. There's someone out there for you. Have you ever said this kind of thing? Don't worry, don't worry about him. Don't worry about her. There's someone else out there for you. I'm worried about this because it's not what God says. We don't need to find somebody else in our lives to be complete. We're complete in Jesus. He is the most important person to have in our lives. So you don't need to get married. You don't need to have kids to be part of the real family. Unfortunately, in church, we sometimes use some unhelpful language, even to think about a family service. Instead of it being the church family, far too often a family service is the nuclear family. It's mum and dad and two kids, and hopefully they leave the dog at home. We can use that kind of language instead of it being the church family. We have a combined church service coming up on the 11th of February. This would be an appropriate time to take out your phone, one of those rare ones in church. Put this date in your calendar. Combined service. It's probably going to be in the morning when some of you don't want to come to church. We have a combined church service every year. Maybe you've come in the past and thought, I do not like that combined service. There's too many little kids, and I deal with kids all day long at work. I don't want to see them there. I'll go another time. I'll skip that week. Maybe you don't particularly like the service because it's not your preferred way to worship God. But there is an important part of combining together as our whole church family. And it's more important than just our desires. How are we going welcoming people into this family here, this 6 o'clock family? Are we willing for new people to come in and change things? Or are we leaving people on the edge? Maybe we're just nice and friendly, but we actually don't invite them into our family. What do you do if there's a new person that joins your family? What do we do when there's a new person in your family? Has anybody had a child recently? Okay, Katie, there's an example. Katie's about to have a child. Any minute now? Yep, okay. How long are those contractions apart? What are we going to do when have we got a name yet? Frank. When Frank is born, what are we going to do? We're going to cook a lot of food for Dave because we're not really sure of his culinary skills. No, sorry, Dave. What are we going to do? We're going to want to go and meet little baby Frankie. Maybe Denise will be there getting a selfie, cuddling, soft toys, gifts. That's what we do when there's a new person that joins the family, isn't it? What do we do when a new person comes to church? Do we go and cuddle them and get selfies with them and give them soft toys? Please don't. But imagine if we were willing to welcome people like that into our church family here? Are we that kind of family where we actually want to welcome people that are outcasts, like the Ethiopian eunuch who didn't particularly fit in? They didn't look right. This is the church that Jesus' blood has turned into a family. Are we living like a family, or are we just happy to be a holy huddle who meets here at 6 o'clock? We talk to the usual people. Maybe we'll go out to dinner with the usual people, and we're really not going to be uncomfortable and talk to people we don't know, and definitely not go and talk to that new person. So right now, I'm going to ask you to do something uncomfortable and difficult. You're not going to like it, but tough. I'm going to ask you to get up and go and talk to someone you don't know. Now, if you've been here for a long time, you probably know most people. I want you to try and find someone you don't really know. Sorry, you're probably going to be swamped. Try and find someone you don't know. Talk to them. And if you've got no questions or you don't know what to ask them, just say, "What are you doing at Christmas?" So let's go. You got a couple of minutes. Let's do this right now. Christmas is a time of families. It's a special time of families. But let's also make sure that it's a special time for us here as a church family. Church for us will be Christmas Eve next Sunday. There's a 6 o'clock. So if you come at 6 o'clock next Sunday, you'll be blessed to see a different part of the family. You'll see the younger part of the family with the special kids service. And we have a special 10 o'clock service, which is a wonderful thing as we celebrate Christmas. Let's pray as we close. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessing of families. And we thank you for the amazing blessing it is to be welcomed into your spiritual family, Lord. We thank you for the privilege it is to have many brothers and sisters, and the unique privilege it is to be able to go anywhere in the world and have brothers and sisters that we don't even know. Father, help us to be a generous and loving and caring family here at St. Aidan's, Lord, as you make us more like your Son. Amen.